Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Whacked, packed, and stacked. Welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 30th and 31st. Happy New Year. September Canada Goose and Railbird season open up September 1st. Up about that, we have prospectus on the early archery deer season. Going to be in, 29 DMZs across the state. Also, hey, a muzzle-loading workshop put on by DEP's Fish and Wildlife's R3 program. A class segment is going to be held at Assinpink Wildlife Management Area Conservation Office, and the shooting part is going to be at the Collier's Mills Range. But before we get to that super event, which I'm too pumped, I can't wait to get to, running September 4th through the 7th, the Atlantic City In-Water Power Boat Show. Coming up is Jay Silverman, co-owner of the event, and it is going to be a blast. 64 brands of boat, people. 64 brands. I turned myself inside out. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. September! Here we go.
Philadelphia Eagles football is back. Listen as the Super Bowl champions open the 2025 season hosting their NFC East rivals, the Dallas Cowboys, on Thursday Night Football.
You don't do that. You don't help Cowboys to their feet.
Pre-game coverage begins at 7. Merrill and Mike call all the action starting at 8:20.
Back goes Prescott. He's looking. He steps up. He's hit. And he's dropped.
This is where the Super Bowl champs play. 97.3 ESPN, South Jersey's official Eagles station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 30th and 31st. Boy, where did August go? What August is leading into is an absolutely spectacular event, one I look forward to for years. And actually, it's celebrating its 41st anniversary. We're looking at September 4th through September 7th, the Atlantic City In-Water Power Boat Show. There at the Golden Nugget at Farley Marina. What an event. I mean, and autumn is the time, to buy about everything in early spring. People want to go in. Autumn is the time to get the boat, because right now you're going to be seeing the hot 2026 models. Great selection of pre-owned boats. It's just, and I have to, I'm running around like a madman there. It's just too much fun. Joining us online right now is Jay Silverman, great friend of Rack and Fin Radio. He is the co-owner of the Atlantic City In-Water Power Boat Show. We're going to talk the event over the next couple of segments. Jay, congratulations. 41 years, little brother. That's great.
Yeah, it sure is. I don't know where the 41 years went.
Jay, but, yeah. Did you notice that, man? Listen, this is what the deal is. It's at the Great Farley Marina. There's so much to do there during these 4 days. But listen, 64 brands of boats. Dude, I'm seeing the Cape Horn, the Everglades, the North Coast, the Regulators. I'm going crazy with that. 24 dealers and the really great, just a super addition with this. Part of the show is the Marine Accessory Mart exhibit. You got 35 covering everything, boating, even insurance. Jay, everything is covered in this boat show.
Yeah, you know, Tom, we really can characterize our event as a very complete event, meaning that, you know, all the major boat brands, are represented. Yep. There. All the major retail Jersey boat dealers are represented. Yep. At our event. So, you know, that's how we like to tout ourselves to the public.
And listen, there's the best part. You are getting a jump on viewing the models, getting actually on board. Jed, it was a great thing in your folder. Get your feet on the deck. Now, listen, there are land displays. Don't get me wrong. You have boats up on the land displays. But this is, you know, E-Dock, F-Dock, there's boats everywhere. You're talking cruisers, sport fishing yachts, bow riders, walk-arounds, fishing skis. 16 to 75 feet. And, Jay, from the years past, you have a beautiful selection of pre-owned makes and models, man. You guys covered it all.
Yeah, you know, you would expect after 41 years that we would have a representative event that the public will really enjoy, wherever they come from, Pennsylvania, as far as Harrisburg,
yeah,
in Allentown, and you know, we get some people from Delaware.
I was just going to say, I met a couple of families from Delaware last year. They're coming up.
Yeah. You know, we're one of the I think notable features of our event is that we are the first of the notable, important in-water shows in the Northeast and Middle Atlantic regions.
Mm-hmm.
So what is unique about that is that all of the new models that are the newer models for the year that have never been seen before will be represented at our event for the first time. So you kind of, you know, everybody wants to be the first to see this and the first to see that. Well, when you see these at our event, you will be the first ones to see the new 26 models
and Jay,
of the major manufacturers.
Several of the dealers I spoke with, really, you see them at the other shows, they really look forward to this because they're strutting their stuff with the new models.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the excitement of our event. You know, you hate to use that as a cliche, but it's a true reality.
Yeah.
When you refer to our event, and that's how we characterize it when we promote it, you know, to attract not just existing boaters, but especially entry-level boaters who have really never owned a boat before and kind of want to get their feet wet. So they come to our show and they see a good representation of the marine industry.
Alyssa, joining us online this morning is Jay Silberman. He is the co-owner of Atlantic City Inwater Powerboat Show, running September 4th through 7th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. all days at the Golden Nugget. At the, you know, Farley State Marina right there at the Golden Nugget. Well, Jay, getting all these dealers together, again, your history, you know, your reputation, procedure, history, you have it down. They're eager to get there. But another thing about the autumn season, the buying season, people, this is the first time to take advantage of the inevitable incentives that always occur at boat shows. Yeah, this is a win-win all around.
Absolutely. And that's a good reference point. Many of the manufacturing brands at our event offer very attractive rebates.
Yep.
Off the prices of the boats. So, yeah, it's really a great way to capitalize on saving money to come and buy a boat at our show.
And the thing is, you get it, you qualify, whatever, you purchase the boat, you take delivery, whatever. And Jay, you are, like I said, you are the first to have the brand new baby at the marina or on the trailer or in the front yard before you take it on the water. Speaking with Jay Silberman here, co-owner AC Inwater Power Boat Show. Well, Jay, again, the tenor of the industry, it's been especially around the COVID and the preceding few years after. Jay, what are you seeing out there? What's your feel there? Because I know all the dealers would have jumped on eager to get to your event. But what's any underlying currents out there? Economy, looking forward to sales, steady as she goes. What are you seeing?
Well, the industry has had a good season. And of course, the dealers have been very aggressive in marketing their products. And I think it's going to continue as we go into the next model year, which we've been in actually since July. I think that the manufacturers have done a great job in changing up the models and offering fresh, newly manufactured product. So, you know, the industry is very confident and optimistic going forward.
And, you know, Jay, that relays to the prospective buyers, whether it's casual looking or seriously in the market, you know, thinking about getting, when you have dealers enthusiastic showing the products, I mean, that adds a lot to the confidence. Yes, I'm making the right decision. What's the term they use? Pull the trigger. You sign on the dotted line right here. And they do sell a lot of boats at your event.
We've always been successful at that. And I think a lot of it has to do with attracting the right bona fide prospects and people who are very internet savvy, who are on websites.
Precisely, yeah.
Of the dealers, you know, looking at the products. So they're very well informed when prior to even coming to our show.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to a dealer. I'll just say he's in the Ocean County area. This guy's very business-like, very staid, very steady. And I'll give his name to JR. I'll just give his name JR. And I mentioned the AC inboard power boat. He said, "Hell yeah, man! Can't wait to get there." I said, "I never see this guy be able to break, you know, raise his voice. Just very steady." And here he was. He was all up. This was about a week and a half. He was all pumped up to show his wares there. And they have you're going to be showing pontoons. They're going to be showing some sport fishing boats, and they'll be showing some family cruisers, man. So this dealer handles that select part of the demographic, and the AC Inwater Power Boat Show is where they want to show it.
Yeah, we're really very proud of the content of our show. If it's manufactured, it's at our show.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. You know, and has been for many years. You know, that's kind of the I think something that we, you know, can tout very genuinely. So yeah, the dealers are psyched. They really are. They're looking forward.
Jumpstart the new season. Like you said, I was in the car business for years. The model season is in July. The new model year is in July, and they're jump starting it, and they want to hit the water, you know, full throttle. And this is the time to do it. Speaking with Jay Shulman, co-owner Atlantic City Inwater Power Boat Show, running September 4th through September 7th at the Golden Nugget Casino Hotel, Farley State Marina facility right there. Very easy to get to. Plenty of parking. The way to go, Jay. The next segment we'll get more into the show itself, but 41 years, Jay, that is one hell of a long run. Were you always there at that marina? Has it grown as the industry has grown, or you're one step ahead of the game, so to speak?
No. I think, you know, we're very tied in to the economy. We started at Harrah's when the Harrah's Marina Casino first opened, you know, a small marina behind their casino.
Right.
And we started there in 1984.
Whoa, that was a very good year.
Yeah, 84. And we ran there until through 87 when the Trump organization took over where the Nugget is now, and it was called the Trump Castle and, you know, / Farley State Marina. The dockmaster that was at Harrah's was hired by the Trump organization. So he asked us if we wanted to move the event. And we had outgrown the event at Harrah's in 2 years. So it was a no-brainer for us to move the event. And, you know, we've grown. And at times when things got a little rough, contracted a little bit. But for the most part, you know, our show has grown dramatically, you know, from its inception, and it continues to grow.
So, man, that's an understatement, man. You guys are rocking it. Come on. It's like a leaps and bounding. People, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be back with Jay Silverman, another segment. AC Inwater Power Boat Show, Thursday, September 4th through Sunday, September 7th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., all days. Those are the hours for all the days. We'll get into some of the prices, admission, whatever later. There's a special deal going on. We'll be right back with Jay Silverman, Rack and Fin Radio.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio. It's a showdown in the National League East.
It's gone!
Ronald Acuna Jr. and the Atlanta Braves face Kyle Schwarber and the Philadelphia Phillies.
Gone! Over the bleachers and gone. Kyle Schwarber, wow!
The Braves at the Phillies. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern, with first pitch at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Listen to Sunday Night Baseball, Phillies Braves, on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 30th and 31st. On the line with us is Jay Silverman, co-owner, Atlantic City Inwater Power Boat Show, running September 4th through the 7th. That's a Thursday through a Sunday. Listen, adults entry $22, youngsters under 12 free. However, Jay, I understand if you go online, as a reduction price in the tickets?
Reduction price. The discount prior to our show, the discount ticket price for an adult is only $15.
There you go, yeah.
So you're saving, you know, a lot of money. You're saving $7 per ticket.
Yep. And listen, adult admission includes a one-year subscription to either boating, yachting, or saltwater sports and magazine. Man, Jay.
That's correct.
This is great.
That's correct.
I mean, you got it all covered there. But again, listen, the Marine Mart accessory portion of the show, it's a must visit for anything and everything you are going to need. You have the boat, and you're always going to need something else with it. Jay, I was amazed that when we were there talking to some of the insurance agents and the suppliers and whatever, it was one big cohesive ball on the water here, man. Everyone was in tune with everything else. It was great. Anything you needed, it was there. Besides the boat, it was there at the show. Everything was all-encompassing.
Yeah, our Marine Mart has a variety of offerings. And it's not huge, but it's very well represented. And you know, to someone who comes to the show, I think they'll find some very helpful exhibitors in there, you know, that are attached to the marine industry.
There's 35 of them, man.
Yeah.
You definitely have a cover. But, Jay, back to the brands themselves. This is what had my eyes popping. Again, I mentioned Cape Horn, the Vikings, the Valhalla, the Everglades. But it seemed into the pontoons and tritunes, to the smaller boats, from 16 to 75 feet. Besides the mega yachts, what don't you have? I can't think of it.
Well, I think that we are primarily a sport boat and fish boat event. And I think the lion's share of the boats in our event, whether they're dual consoles, center consoles, bow riders, cuddies, are probably between 18 to 30, 35 feet. I think that's the meat of our event.
There
and I think that's the meat of where the boating market is anyway.
Mm-hmm. And that's I saw that precisely at I worked two or three boat shows this past spring, early summer, in various parts. Like you said, that was the meat. That was the bone right there in that market. So, but you're attracting buyers from every demographic segment, it seems.
Yeah, well, the marine industry has an interesting demo. It's really not an older crowd, but a more mature crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the price points of boats kind of dictate that. So, you know, and you know, we have, I think the manufacturers have done a great job at all the shows, but I know they have at our event in supporting the dealer, their retail dealer network with a pretty aggressive rebate system. But the rebate is really tied into the promotion of the shows. So if you want to get a great deal, whether it's our show or any other boat show, the place to buy a boat is really at a boat show.
At a boat show, Jay, because that's the tiebreaker there, whether it be, again, a rebate or an extended service plan on the engines or whatever. I saw that acting. So and one guy's signed on a dotted line, said, I just couldn't pass it up. He had upgraded. And he said, you know, they threw in an extra, 2 years, whatever it was, or Gelco, I don't know what it was, but he said, that's something that I was looking forward to. I was going to have to get down the road that they threw in there, and he said, and he signed. And that's why buying at a show makes the most sense, because that's where the best offerings are. But, Jay, let me ask you this. When people come down, they want, if we can go into the sales part, again, it varies by dealer. You go down, and you talk, and you whatever. Do they have on-water testing right there if you're qualified, or do you have to go back to the dealer for that? How does that work?
Yeah, years ago, sea trials were heavily promoted at shows.
Right.
But it depends on where the show is and how active that marina site is. It's our event no longer promotes sea trials.
Right.
You know, you're better off arranging for a sea trial, you know, after our event.
Right. Because in the long run, listeners, that's how it goes. Otherwise, you get crazy out there. I spoke to a couple of dealers who arranged. In fact, Jay, what is the chance of this? I'm down in Cape May, met a guy who had bought a boat, went to the marina twice to seal the deal. And it was that second ride. He sold them on. He says, one, the service was great. The dealer was great. The service department was great. And he said, I'm in. And that was from your show. Just to let you know. So that works.
Yeah, it's very effective. You know, one of the things that's very interesting about boating in New Jersey, many of the boat dealers, the retail boat dealers in New Jersey, are the number one boat dealers in the country that represent those boat brands. It's very unique.
Wow. That is pretty impressive. I never knew that. That is pretty impressive, Silverman. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's shocking. You would not believe how many boat dealers in New Jersey, retail boat dealers, are the number one dealers in the world for that boat line.
And we have some great dealers, great people involved with the industry. Well, Jay, the AC Boat Show itself now, In-Water Power Boat Show, 41st anniversary. And you're growing. The future sites are set on what? Like more boats, a bigger facility. How do you get a bigger, better facility than where you are right now? What are the plans?
Well, for us, I think the plan is to we have everything represented in terms of new inventory. You know, with the boat brands, I think we're going to focus on growing the brokerage section of our show, but only with boats that are 40 feet or larger.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's a very small segment of buyers that can even afford those kind of boats. So I think that's the direction we're going to go in. We have all the major brands that are represented in our show already.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're well represented by the retail dealer network. So I think that the future of our show will be to grow it through the brokerage section.
Join us online as Jay Silverman, co-owner, Atlantic City In-Water Power Boat Show, running September 4th through the 7th at the Farley State Marina Golden Nugget Casino Hotel. Well, Jay, I'll tell you, besides the not to get off track here, but listen, besides the boat show, you get the beautiful September weather. Jay, there's a million things to do around the boat show. It's an all-encompassing. You can make a week out of it if you want.
Yeah. One of the features of our show is kind of the environment. It involves the environment that we created the show, or that has been created at the show. The deck, which is the outdoor area adjacent right there that's connected to the piers, E&F dock, offers some really sumptuous food, and there is entertainment during our show on the weekend that's free. You know, it's on the deck, so you know it's really a nice day to come down. You know, you'll have a nice day. You'll enjoy, relax. You know, check out the boats and just take in, you know, all the environment.
And Jay, even though you figure Atlantic City, you know, an adult venue, the marina, I saw a noticeable number of families at the event. And you think of Atlantic City, the gambling. No, man, it was a family atmosphere. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's a misnomer that people think that only, you know, that Atlantic City only appeals to an older crowd because of the gaming. But you're right. We've always attracted, it's interesting, we've always attracted families to our event. And that's why we offer, you know, we don't charge for children under 12. So we encourage people to bring their entire families down.
Again, as a family event at a great time here. Listen, the Atlantic City, I'm too pumped for this. I can't wait for this. The Atlantic City In-Water Power Boat Show, September 4th to Thursday, runs through Sunday, September 7th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. all days. Farley State Marina, Golden Nugget Casino Hotel area. Youngsters under 12, free adults 22. You go to their website and there's discount tickets available. The debut of the 2026 models. You have yachts, cruisers, sport fishers, bow riders, pontoons, tri-tunes, fishing skis, whatever. 65 brands. You register in that, people. 65 brands of boats are going to be available. 24 top-notch dealers and the Marine Accessory Mart exhibitors, 35 strong, covering anything and everything you need to get on the water, from insurance to whatever. Hats off to you, Silverman. You crushed it again, bro. I just can't wait to get there. Hey, man, you ever eat at the Chart House?
Yes.
Somebody told me, he said, Tom P. I said, yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to try to get to the boat. Yeah, absolutely. He says, check out the sea. I said, to try. I never heard of it because I'm not down there that much. He said, Tom, he said, that seafood will kill you, man. It's absolutely fantastic.
And it's the view of the marina, it's right there.
There, yeah, that's what he said,
You know, when you eat there at the Chart House, it's a great environment because you have a view of the marina and the show.
Mm-hmm. Listen, it's a must-see event. It's good. Again, I'm saying it one more time, September 4th through September 7th, a Thursday through a Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You're in the market for a boat. You're thinking about getting a boat, even toying with it. Yeah, maybe time to upgrade something. This is the event. You're getting the first look at the 2026 models. And, Jay, you have a pretty impressive line of high-quality pre-owned boats available as well, correct?
Yes. I think, you know, our broker section is, you know, in its infancy. So it's smaller, but,
small, you know, but enough, small, but enough, Silverman, you got some good stuff there.
Yeah, we do. We really are a worthy event. And if I may, Tom, I'd like to really stress to the people to really go online, and if you're thinking about coming, go online, and you'll really save a good chunk of money on a ticket.
Absolutely,
heavily discounted ticket from $22 to $15. So you're saving a nice chunk of change. You know, it covers a drink at the bar.
Absolutely, and hey, you can get Silverman, you read my mind exactly. What's up with that? First thing I thought of. Jay, I look forward to seeing you there. I'll be there one of those days. How can I hunt you down? Wait, that didn't sound right, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm really not hard to find. You know, like, just ask any of our people when you're there, the radio me, and we'll be able to, you know, shoot the breeze a little bit.
And Jay, I've been there. It is a seamless operation. You just go there and enjoy yourself and look at the boats. Hey, make a deal. You know, it is an event you don't want to miss. Jay, thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you all within a week or so, but little brother. You be good.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
Take care. I'll see you. Jay Silverman, what a cool, just a cool guy. This is going to be a super event. I'm all sweating. I'm too cranked up. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker with Billy Schwein, producer Nick Earnshaw, and former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Dave Klemek join me in the studio. The Phillies get back in the win column as Schwalber explodes against the Braves. We will be giving away Phillies tickets behind the dugout to lucky listeners, so tune in to win. Courtesy of Pennsauken Spine and Rehab, the Eagles kick off the season Thursday night against the Cowboys, and the locker room crew will be there. We'll talk about it all. It's the Locker with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go, like out below, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 30th and 31st. Hey, man, the Canada Goose season coming up, Railbird season coming up. Also coming up very soon is the early bow season. We have the September season. It's going to run September 13th through October 3rd in 29 deer management zones across the state. I know it's a touchy subject, warm weather deer hunting. This is all about management. It's also a great opportunity to get that velvet buck. That's the holy grail still of a lot of bow hunters out there, me included. Joining us on the line right now is Jody Powers. She's a supervising biologist with DEP's Fish and Wildlife, and she is also the deer project leader. It's that time of year. Hopefully it's not going to happen. We have the specter of EHD hanging over our heads. Jody, how you doing? Thanks for joining us. I'm glad you enjoyed your vacation. Let's get down to business, girl. How you doing?
I'm really good, Tom. How are you?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock. It's hunting season time, Jody. I love the early season. Some people do, some people don't, you know, deer, warm weather, whatever. But this is a strictly management thing, and I'll tell you, a lot of people do take advantage of it, be in a field and putting some venison in the freezer.
Yes, they do.
Jody, the DMZs that are picked, we have the 29 of the high populations of whitetail, stable populations of whitetail. Is this more like a cull thing, getting in this early?
Yes, it is. So it's a good opportunity to get out there early and shoot your antlerless deer first. And then once you do, you get a good crack at a buck.
Yeah, but listen, that's vital. You have to get your antlers first. That's prime venison in the freezer. Jody, now the deer take overall last year was up, I believe, 10.4%. Go into those numbers. Where was the slight increase, but an increase nonetheless? Where were these increases posted?
So for every season, they were up, except for the six-day firearm season was down like 4%, only 170 deer. That was mainly weather related, but every other season, the harvest was up.
And this is good. There are a lot of people worried about, me included. You know, some of the DMZs, they're still going to be closed this year for special permit, right? Where we had
they
the
are.
ESA problem?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
But
those two zones down south, 45 and 46, are still going to be closed except for fall bow and the six-day firearm season. Mm, we are seeing a little bit of an increase, a rebound from that EHD, the two outbreaks a couple years ago, but we still want to keep an eye on it. So
hey,
Powers,
when I saw those two numerals, 4-6 next to each other, I went, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, Jody, let's, on a more serious note here, let's touch on the EHD situation. Could it already been happening this time of year? August starts, mid-August? Is it more of a September, early fall thing?
Yeah, so we do start to see some reports of dead deer usually around now, like the last 2 weeks in August, early September. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we get a lot of reports of when guys are going out scouting and stuff, we start to get some more reports.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really gotten that many. We've gone out to check out a few reports that we've gotten. None of them have shown any, you know, definite signs of EHD. We sent three out, but we don't even think it was EHD, but we wanted to just be sure. So we did send the samples out, but we haven't gotten any reports back yet.
Now, Jerry, I've been around from Somerset County down through parts of Gloucester, Salem, down to North Cape May, and areas where there have been, and I haven't seen any indication yet. Now that the muddy flask, whatever, these gnats, whatever that calls this thing. So hopefully that is maybe perhaps run its course. It might bypass, not to put it out in the universe, as my lovely Dee Marie says, it doesn't cause havoc. But it might pass this year, correct?
It might. There's no way to really predict it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes these midges blow up with, you know, the hurricanes that come through. But we really haven't had any hurricanes that have come up through the Southwest. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But so far, you know, we had an uptick of reports when we put a social media post out and an email blast about the deer disease sighting form.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, it's leveled out, and we haven't really had any major concerns yet.
Jody, let me interrupt you a second. Is there an arbitrary date on the calendar, if such a thing, that, okay, whew, we're not going to get it? You know, the chances are remote to non-existent. Or that can be, you know, hey, we get the hot spell, you know, the end of September. I've seen weeks in the 90s.
Yeah. So there's not a hard date. It's all pretty much weather related. You know, but usually, you know, by October, the beginning of November, if we don't have it, we most likely won't get it.
Yeah, fingers and toes crossed on that one, Jody. So the areas that were hit hard, those two DMZs, one of them, lowland, swampy type areas, river bottoms.
Yep, exactly.
And I remember the first time we called it a blue tongue. I first heard it was in the early 70s, and it was up in Sussex. So this thing is, it goes from basically Cape May to the top?
Yeah, it can. And usually when you know, we start seeing, you know, some of the southern states getting it, then we know that we might be getting it as well. But so far, there haven't been a lot of reports anywhere yet. So
I can say,
you know, fingers crossed. Yeah,
thank God on that one. Well, Jody, again, the people want to get involved. The dead deer sighting form, whatever, was that on njfishandwildlife.com?
It is, and it's on the homepage. You just have to scroll down a little bit, but there's a big bubble that says submit your deer disease sightings, and it brings you right to the form.
Jody,
fill it out. Yep. You can add photos and videos, which are very helpful for us, see what the deer, the condition of the deer that's being reported, and it really helps us with our response.
Jody, is it an across-the-board thing, or are bucks more affected than the does or whatever? Is this non-discriminate? Just wipe?
It's sort of non-discriminate. Yeah, I mean, it tends to be, you know, bigger deer, because especially bucks, because they do, you know, they're moving around a lot more. But it's pretty indiscriminate. Of course, the bucks that do die from it are the ones that get the attention, of course. But yeah.
I'll tell you, Jody, one thing, and I'm proud to be part of it. The most, I say, active, you know, proactive, not reactive, is the deer hunting fraternity. Be it archery, muzzleloader, firearm, you know, shotgun, whatever. They're on this big time. And come when you think of it. Listeners, deer hunting in New Jersey from September right through winter bow, it does affect the economies. It's a big money business.
It is.
Jody, how much of a theoretically going to herd get knocked down? I mean, the last bad bout of EHC that we had, is it like 3% of an area herd, 4%, 10%? What's the deal?
It's a lot. It tends to be localized, because the midges follow, you know, stream corridors and wetlands. So you can have a devastating effect, but it could be localized. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 2 miles down the road, you won't have it at all.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Joining us online is Jody Powers. She's a supervising biologist, DEP Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Wildlife Management. She's also the statewide deer project leader. We're touching on EHD right now, but she's going to give a little prospectus on the upcoming, it's going to start, let's see, September 13th, winter bow season in 29 deer management zones across the state. Jody, I have to mention those three nasty-ass letters, CWD.
Yep.
Still keeping it at bay, correct?
We are. Yep. Last year we tested over 1,000 deer. Most of those were just samples from, you know, hunter harvested deer spread out, you know, across the state. We try to get a good sample. We did test some that were symptomatic that, you know, fit the bill of what a CWD would look like.
What is that?
CWD deer would look like. Just, you know, some neurological issues, drooling, unsteady on the feet, emaciated. But all of those turned out to be other, you know, diseases or, you know, viral bacterial loads. So far, so good. We don't have it in New Jersey, and we're doing the best to keep it out.
Jody, not to put you on the spot right now, but is it knocking at the door? Is it still far enough west in Pennsylvania right now? Oh, it's always going to be a concern. Don't get me wrong, but we're okay. We're still good.
Yeah, we're still good. We're one of two states on the eastern seaboard that don't have it yet. So, you know, we're keeping our fingers crossed. It could be a matter of when, you know, not if, but, you know, we're trying everything to, you know, keep it out as long as we can.
Yeah, Jody, on a more positive note, how the things look for the early bow season in Jersey and the standard archery season as well. People, a lot of deer out there, a lot of healthy deer, a lot of great eating venison. And if you're into the racks, Jody, the racks we see on public land, how the hell do they get through all those hunting seasons, you wonder? Oh, man.
I know. Well, you know, those older bucks are smart. You know, they know when to, you know, keep their head down. And, so they're surviving through the year. And it's a lot of good habitat. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of acorns out there this year. So, you know, they're going to be getting a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, today was chilly. It was 48 degrees at my house this morning. So it would have been a perfect opening day. So hopefully, you know, the weather holds and it's a good day.
Jody, approximate statewide numbers estimate, is there such a figure out there?
There is. Yeah, it's about 112,000.
That's a lot of animals, a lot of opportunities where you can be selective, where you can be. My lovely Dee Marie, she's in the rack phase, which is fine. Me, I see a deer, because there's so much going on in October especially. I see meatloaf. I see steaks. I see backstraps and roast.
So, chili?
Yeah. Oh, my chili man, make your tongue slap your brains out, Powers. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, Jerry, well, thanks so much. We're going to have a great, great early bow season. You can go online or you can get the digest at your license issuing agents. Everything is on there, all the dates, whatever, the harvest figures. And let's have a great, safe season. Jody, thanks for joining us. By the way, Jody.
Yes.
When I met you at that Fishing Game Council meeting, mm-hmm. I'm looking around all the time. I said, there's this one. You were like the most engaging, personable, friendly. Most people looked at me and, oh, it's him. I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Tom.
You said, oh, it's you. Okay. Nice to meet you. I really enjoyed it. Jody, we'll see you. Thanks again. Great information. This is great, great early bow season coming up. Go out there and do it.
Yep, you're welcome, Tom. Thank you.
See you, Jody. Jody Powers. Very cool, very cool, very cool. Be right back. Hey, as I said, muzzleloader workshop coming up in September, early September. Listen in. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, close it out. The final weekend in August with me, Tom P., Rack and Fin Radio, August 30th and 31st. Hey, you've been tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. on 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN-FM. Streaming live in that slot, 97.3ESPN.com. Download Apple, Spotify, YouTube, whatever, all the other platforms. Rack and Fin Radio is on there in the podcast form. Usually posted by today, Saturday afternoon, or sometime Sunday. Hey, just a reminder, Fish and Wildlife's R3 program is going full tilt boogie. We had, Tiffany Woolery on last week about the women's sporting clay shoe contest. Hey, check this out. A two-day introduction to muzzleloaders. Free workshop by R3 is going to be in September. Joining us on the line right now, he was just on, and he rocked the house, and the ratings prove it. Big Joe Leske. Joe is the DEP Fish and Wildlife State Hunter Education and R3 Program Administrator. Hey, Joe, man, this looks like a great muzzle-loading course. 2 days, you got it split. You got a Thursday, then the field trial, the field shooting on Sunday, man. Rock the house, man. How's it going?
Yeah, buddy. It's going to be something that's interesting and very necessary. So
Black powder down. Listen, what you're going to do is you're going to enhance, get more, Joe, again, based on the number of permits you want to buy, you're going to get more hunting opportunities for deer. And also, if you want to get into the bear with the muzzleloader, minimum 45 caliber, you have your opportunities there. But this course, Joe, looks very encompassing. Go into the dates, the session itself. What do you got?
Yeah, so this is kind of a supply and demand. So a lot of our hunters were looking for more things to do. And one of the greatest things that you could do is get into muzzleloader hunting. So this is our second year doing this workshop, and basically it's two parts. So there's going to be a lecture part that's Thursday, September 11th. So if you register and are awarded a spot, you'll go from 7 to about 9 o'clock. So you go all the ins and outs of the muzzleloader. Then we have the actual field session or the range session. So we know a lot of the issues that people have had maybe with a muzzleloader were a little bit of intimidation with all the parts.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. So a few years ago, you had to take the rifle course with hunter education, and that's no longer a major component. It's covered within our basic firearms part. So here's a time that on Sunday, which is the firearm range session, is 12 to 3. You get an hour session with our instructors to go in and out of all the different types of muzzleloaders, how to load it, and all those types of things. So it's hands-on, and we'll break down those walls of people maybe being a little intimidated by the muzzle.
I'll tell you, Joe, and they are absolutely absolutely effective weapons. Okay, listeners, the classroom part is going to be, as Joe said, September 11th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Conservation Center in Assinpink Wildlife Management in Robbinsville. About 2 to 3 minutes, 4 minutes maybe, if you drive like me, off 195, Joe. And then the range course is going to be at the Collier's Mills Wildlife Management Area Training Range in New Egypt. Again, very, very easy to get to. Well, Joe, the one thing with the muzzleloaders now, one, they're not primitive weapons anymore. We discussed that. And but there's different types now. And it's crazy. And trying to simplify it and make it easier to me is, well, you know how my mind actually if you want to call it that, Leskie. Now my mind works. Sometimes even more confusing.
Yeah. And, I mean, let's face it, the muzzleloader is not the Red Ryder BB gun. So there's a lot of moving parts, and technology just keeps advancing to the point where it's hard to keep up with it.
Yep.
But where they're moving is to maybe make it a little bit more ethical and efficient of a firearm. So you can look at it that way. Yeah, they do have capabilities of really reaching out and hitting the target far away. However, we still like to stress that you want to try and get any species that you're going after within a good effective range. So technology is advancing, making it easier, maybe even safer. So there's a positive spin on that part.
And Joe, another thing too, Liz, is what you can do is I know a gentleman and his wife who do it. You have the squirrel muzzle loading season in certain zones in Jersey. And that's a blast, man. That's bringing it back to the colonial days. Even if you're one of these modern muzzleloaders, man, that's a small target.
Yeah, I mean, you say it, bringing it back, and that's kind of where we see a lot of our hunters that have been hunting for quite a while. They're starting to go back in time, maybe not using the crossbow. Maybe they're going with a recurve, or maybe they're trimming it down with a smaller caliber muzzleloader to go out after something as great as squirrels. So it's definitely a great opportunity.
Joe, those that can still do it, I've noticed over the past probably 4 to 5 years, I've been going to various archery shops. Shout out to Range 29 and what's that? The other place out there by Winslow, great place, Rack Shack. That not many, Joe, but an increase, slowly but surely increasing number of people who can do it, have the physical acumen to do it, ability, are going back to the recurve, Joe, and the longbow.
Yeah.
And then within 40 yards, it's actually 35, 40, well, predicated on, you know, the shot clearance and whatever. Very, very effective weapons. I mean, look what Fred Bear killed with that thing.
Exactly, yeah. And so, sometimes, you know, it was always the bigger, stronger, fastest kind of, you know, king of the mountain type of attitude is starting to be realized that you don't need that. So, you know, it's nice to kind of maybe go back and redefine how you want to go after your game.
Okay, joining us online this morning is Joe Leskie. He was just on. Joe, that was a great segment. You're rocking. You're rocking the house. He is the DEP Fish and Wildlife State Hunter Education and R3 Program Administrator. R3, people, the program, recruit, retain, and reactivate. Joe, can you go a little bit into the program, how it's progressed? It's getting real popular, man. You're doing great work.
Yeah, so it was a national understanding that the hunting community was slowly decreasing. So license sales were down across the United States. So, you know, the professionals got together and started to come up with this R3 program initiative where each state will be allocated funds to try. And I put it this way. You go through hunter education. You do all the studying, workbook, all that kind of stuff. You get your voucher, you go to the range, you get certified, and now it's kind of a head scratcher. It's now what? Now what do I do?
Yeah.
The R3 program is an attempt to try and give those people an opportunity to get into the woods. It can't just be, let's watch a YouTube video. You need that hands-on stuff. So
exactly right.
We have all kinds of A to Z programs, from turkey hunts, mentored hunts, to take a kid pheasant hunt, butchering workshops for deer, muzzleloader workshop, which closes in a week. So register for that. So it was kind of that that ask of what can we do to try and stabilize our hunting numbers. And we have started seeing that kind of leveling out over the past 5 or 6 years.
Great work. Okay, listen, there's a 2-day introduction to muzzleloaders. It's a free workshop. The classroom is September 11th, and the range is on it's a Thursday night, and September 14th, the Sunday, you're going to be at the range. The lecture portion is followed by, again, the hands-on range session. Lecture is going to be 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Conservation Center on the Assinpink Wildlife Management Area in Robbinsville. The range is going to be Sunday, September 14th from noon to 3 at the Collier's Mills Wildlife Management Area Training Range in New Egypt. Registration ends Monday, September 8th. If awarded a spot, you'll be notified by the R3 staff by 5 p.m. on Tuesday, September 9th. Space and registration is limited, so if you want to get into this, get off your butts. And Joe, fishandwildlife.com, correct?
Absolutely. Go in there, go to the R3 hunting and shooting page, and register today so you can get out there later in the year.
Hey, Lesky, I'd like to have you on more, man. You rock it. Well, Joe, listen, you have a great and safe fall season. God's prayers, we'll see you in the woods or the fields or something. We are locked, cocked, and ready to rock and ready for the September goose season and the railbirds. We're going to get a railbird hunting there. People are like, are you still eating that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love to hunt my railbirds. I don't hit many. Well, we know that, but that's the way it goes. Joe, you take care, man. Great work. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
See you, brother. That'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Muzzleloaders, you know, when the whole thing, now, to me, the true primitive weapon, like Pensy, has a flintlock season. I've seen some deer hit with these modern muzzleloaders. I've shot a few. Well, not that modern. I think the last time I shot them was a couple of years ago. I saw a deer, it had to be close to 100 yards. Guy was a great shot. Literally, took this big doe, big swamp donkey off her hoofs, off her feet, boom, down. So they are very, very effective weapons. So be careful. It's not as easy as just dropping a shell in, whether you're doing a slug or a buckshot. Very involved. Again, this session will be invaluable. Again, I don't like to buying a special permit for that. It splits the season. But it is added opportunity to get into whitetail woods. And also, check out, man, squirrel hunting with a muzzleloader. It is a challenge. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. God bless America. God bless our troops. Get out of the field, man. September season is here. Hunting seasons are here, and I'm loving it. And don't forget the fishing. It's just really starting to get going. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Whew, it is that time.